Hi, this is Peter Schwartz, and you're listening to the First Team Podcast.
With your host, John Frusciante.
Hello, Cosmos Country. Welcome back. On this week's episode, we are going to talk about the NASL, touch on the New York Cosmos, what's going on in Cosmos Country. Then we are going to talk to Peter Wilt towards the end of the episode. So keep it locked here. You can connect with the show on Twitter at First Team Pod, on Facebook at First Team Pod as well, and on Instagram at First Team Pod 1. And check out our website, firstteampod.com. We have a blog, shop, and other things going on there. So that's how you can connect with the show and just stay up to date on everything that is going on in Cosmos Country, U.S. Soccer, and the NASL. So first off, let's talk about our New York Cosmos, our boys in green. Three players are officially signed. This was announced when Rocco Camiso announced that he will be the majority stakeholder in the club. Eric Calvillo, who scored his first goal in his first season with the New York Cosmos against Minnesota United. I remember that game like it was yesterday. Then we have David Ochang and Ryan Richter. Three players that deserve to be back. The whole team deserves to be back, if I'm being honest with all you guys. But it's not going to happen because there's great players that we had on our team that maybe got better offers. Maybe they can see this as a next step in their career. Because as Giovanni Savarese would do every single season, he would never block someone's move. He would never say, Michael Hood, you can't go to Miami FC. That's not Gio. He would never say, Haji Wright, you're not going to Schalke. He understands that the Cosmos can't offer someone the world. And I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about a certain lifestyle. I'm saying that the Cosmos can't offer certain things that other leagues and other countries can offer. Lucky, he went to Finland. Probably because he didn't want to stay in the United States. He wanted to go progress his career. Maybe that was the best offer on the table for him. Maybe that was the only offer on the table. But throughout all of this, we have to just be proud that our team is back. And we have a local owner that has our best interest at hand. Rocco Camiso is a business guy. He understands what it takes to build a successful business. Gio knows how to build a team. But the one problem is, how are we going to build this team on a short amount of time? We need to secure a stadium, which could be MCU Park, could be Columbia University. That has been thrown around on Twitter. Rocco Camiso said that there are conversations that they're having. So we just have to wait and see on that one. They have to rehire staff and coaching staff. So it's going to take a while before we could officially talk about what's going on in Cosmos Country. But at the moment, all we can say that there's three players on board, and Giovanni Savarese has to sell the project once again. And I remember talking about the Cosmos project when we were reportedly going to sign Raul, and then we finally signed Raul. That was probably a great time covering the New York Cosmos and talking about the team that we all love and supporting the team. But don't get me wrong, it's very exciting to have the Cosmos back again and to have your weekends filled with going to the game, talking about the game, interacting with your Cosmos buddies and your friends. Let's hope that we have some more news to talk about next week on our New York Cosmos. That's why we're talking a bit more about the league, because there is more news there than there is with our New York Cosmos. And to be frank with you guys, this is probably the most important time to care about the league and to sort of spread the word and focus on what the league is doing, because what the league does now is the most important. Because people throw out and say, well, so many years ago, MLS had a crisis and a certain guy or this happened and it made their league the way it is today. I'm not saying that the NASL is going to become a closed league where the league controls everything. I'm saying that whatever happens at the moment with the new people that are in charge, the interim commissioner, with the owners that are on the same page, this is going to define the NASL for years to come. In SoccerAmerica.com, they had a conversation with the NASL interim commissioner, and he said some pretty good things. He says, our owners said that slow this process down, talking about bringing people in to own teams. We're committed to this league going forward. We can commit the resources to do it. We want to do it because we believe in the market and we believe in the league. That's some positive news. But the very interesting points that a lot of people make when they talk to the media is there's a different approach. And he says it right here in SoccerAmerica.com. You can go check out the article. We live in the greatest free market country in the world, but we have a lot of regulation in businesses and in government. We need that in our business. We can be free market, but regulation is good. It will eliminate market inefficiencies. So what they're doing is they want to have financial sustainability. Ricardo Silva talked about this in his conversation with Bob Williams. They have a plan. They have a plan. Before, you've never heard this. Maybe this is just PR, and they're just saying this to the fans to say, we have a plan, but maybe they really don't have a plan. But I truly believe there is a plan in place. We don't have Bill Peterson in there anymore. He just said things just to make you happy. Oh yeah, we're talking to six people. Are you really? We never saw those six teams come in the league for the past 5 years. Right now, in this new era of the NASL, you're not going to see the commissioner come out and say, we're doing this, or we're going to have a certain amount of teams by this year. That's what Bill Peterson did. Not even Steve Malik, when he talked to Neil Morris, would ever commit to a number. Peter Wilt, not in the interview that we had today, but he came out and said that he thinks that there might be 20 teams by 2020. And you can hear his thoughts on that later on in the episode. But what I'm trying to get at is that there is a vision, there is a plan in place. If you are a fan of this league, it's going to be a very, very exciting time to support your team and to support the league and to see this league grow for years to come. And I love getting guests to come on and talking about the beautiful game in this country and where they see it and what might change in the future or what should change. So here is my chat with Peter Wilt. If you enjoy it or want to see more people like this, more executives, just more guests on the show, tweet us or go on Facebook and you can write to us and tell us who you want to have on and so on. So you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook at First Team Pod. I'm joined by Peter Wilt, the managing director of Club 9 Sports and the chief executive officer of Chicago NASL. How are you today, Peter?
Fantastic, John. Good to talk to you.
I'm so glad to have you on the show. Let's first talk about U.S. Soccer's decision to sanction NASL and USL as co-division 2. What are your thoughts on this decision by U.S. Soccer?
Well, it was a provisional sanctioning of both as Division II, and I think it was a very wise move by U.S. Soccer, kind of like the Solomon-esque splitting of the baby. What it did is it put a carrot out there for both leagues to get their house in order over the next year and reach the standards that have been defined as a minimum for Division II. And I think what's going to happen over the course of this year is both leagues are going to be motivated to improve their standards where they've been deficient. And you know, from what I see, it's going to be easier for NASL to reach those standards than USL. USL seems to have more waivers than NASL. NASL essentially just needs to increase the number of teams from 8 to 12 and add a third time zone. And I can tell you from Club 9's perspective, we represent four clients that intend to play in the spring of 2018. So if we're able to get those four to the finish line, right there would qualify NASL to lift the provisional status from the sanctioning. But I think it's good. I think both leagues will grow and because of it.
Talk about those four clients that you're talking about. Can you reveal their markets that they want to be in?
Well, yeah, certainly three of them anyways. I'm out in Orange County right now working closely with the group out here, and then San Diego and Chicago. You know, Chicago I've been working on for a while, and that's an interesting one because we have the investors in place, but we don't have the venue locked down. We have three different options we're working on. One's an existing facility, a second is a to-be-built facility by a developer, and a third would be a modular stadium to be developed on an existing site. So each of the projects are in different stages, but we're excited about all of them.
Chicago is a very interesting market because you have the Chicago Fire, which they're outside downtown, and then you have your project that you're leading, which is going to be in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, I'd be, well, the three sites are all at different locations, but they're all in the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. And you're right, that plays to the point that in larger cities, I think it's fair to hope or expect that more than one team be supported. The geographic differentiation can create interest sufficient to support more than one team, certainly in markets like Chicago, Los Angeles, New York. But I think there's others. You know, you look at markets like Dallas and Boston and even Denver, Philadelphia. If you have enough differentiation between the two teams, you can carve out a fan base for multiple teams. And that's what the sport is about in the rest of the world. And when you have more than one team in one market, you create a passion. You know, you really create an energy and support for those teams that maybe you wouldn't have if you only had one team in that market.
Yeah, it sort of makes you grow more passionate about that one team. Like in New York, I support the Cosmos, but there's two more other teams that there's more of a rivalry with, and you want to compete with them. Not in the same league, but you want to come together as soccer fans, which is pretty cool. So
yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the extreme, obviously, is in London, where we have half a dozen premiership clubs and more in the championship and below.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Like what Giovanni Savarese said, that New York City can have three teams and they can support them. So that just goes to show you that New York is a very good market for New York soccer. So let's go towards what the NASL sort of announced when they said that they're going in a new direction. They released three priorities. Number one is they want to work collaboratively with some stakeholders in North America to grow the game and more vigorous vetting process, which a lot of fans could say that that needs to be added. And the third one is financial sustainability, which these are great priorities to move forward, like you said, to have the NASL become Division II because we need more teams. And we can be on a better path for the future.
Yeah, I think those are all important points. And just surviving the sanctioning process was only half the battle. And I think identifying this new vision and implementing it is the other half. So, you know, certainly not out of the woods yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think the league is in a good place and will be in a better place going forward.
At least you guys can understand sort of where you guys went wrong as a league, and you can identify what we need to change, and we need to all come together for the same vision.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it does involve being more inclusive and being less exclusive. And, you know, I've already seen signs of that. I think the new leadership, Rishi Sehgal, is doing a good job. And I think the investors, to a certain extent, may have been scared straight, and they're going to pay more attention to things like vetting expansion teams and identifying a real clear vision and direction for the league. You know, proof will be in the pudding. So the league's not there yet, but I think it's headed in a good direction.
You talked about the conversations and maybe the arguments that the NASL had with U.S. Soccer. Can you talk or can you reveal some things that were sort of offered over to U.S. Soccer, the discussions that you guys had?
No, I was not involved directly. As you mentioned, with Club 9 Sports and not in-house with the North American Soccer League at this point. But I think, you know, from the conversations, it's been a healthy dialogue and it's been transparent. And I think that was important. I think both U.S. Soccer and the North American Soccer League leadership stepped up and revealed cards. They revealed what they have, what they don't have, and they talked honestly about where they need to get to. And I think that's an important step to get to, because if you don't know where you are or where you're going, it's going to be hard to get there. But it's going to be interesting. But I'm again, cautiously optimistic that the league is taking steps in the right direction to bring in the type of owners that will be solid and will be looking at the long term.
I read somewhere that you said that the NASL might have 20 teams by 2020. Steve Malik sort of didn't really want to come out and say that. He didn't seem that optimistic about that, but he wanted to have a more step back and look at everything approach. What are your thoughts on sort of Steve Malik's approach towards expansion?
Yeah, no, he's right. And my comments were taken out of context. And actually, okay. I think it was, I said as many as 20 teams by the fall of 2018.
Yeah.
And admittedly, that's very aggressive. And I think the full quote, which wasn't printed, was that the league will likely have at least 16, maybe 18, or even 20 teams by the fall of 18. And I am optimistic that that growth is going to happen. And I agree with Steve that it's not, you don't really want to put a number on it. But that being said, I've never seen investor interest at this high level in the NASL or in professional soccer in general as I've seen it in the last 12 months. And since the sanctioning was granted, it's just picked up again. A day doesn't go by where I don't talk to another interested investor or interested market in starting a new professional soccer team.
When MLS stops expanding, do you think investors would not want to invest in the game? Because some of them want to go to the top of the pyramid. So if you don't have an opportunity to go there, do you think there would still be a lot more investment without the hopes of going to MLS one day?
That's a great question. And I think your point that I think you're getting to has some validity. I don't think it stops interest in investing in professional soccer in the United States, but I think it lessens it. I think absolutely, and it's kind of the American way. You want to play at the highest level, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think it would be one of the other benefits that we're always talking about, by including promotion and relegation into the structure of American professional soccer. If you have promotion and relegation, then you don't really close off the system and limit new investment. In fact, you incentivize new investment by showing people that they can get to the top of the pyramid by getting in at any level. So I'd like to see it explored. I think it's an important topic to discuss thoroughly and not be just dismissed as impossible because it doesn't appear to be in MLS's best interest. I've got a long, 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 long article coming out within the next week in the Howler magazine and ESPN FC that's going to delve into that topic. And I hope the article spurs further conversation because I think the upside is massive to promotion and relegation. And certainly it's not an easy topic to resolve, but the rewards are so great for the sport throughout the country that I think it's incumbent upon all of the stakeholders to have serious discussions about ways to accomplish it.
Well, I think the people at the bottom of the pyramid would want to have that conversation. Do you think MLS and U.S. Soccer would want to be a part of that conversation as well?
You'd have to ask them if they want to. I will tell you, and you'll see in the article, that I think they should. Mm-hmm. They should absolutely be part of the conversation. But if they're not, you know, that's okay too. I think there's ways to accomplish it with or without their participation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was something that came out in the past couple of days. I don't know how true this is. Some media outlet, they said that the NASL was thinking about a potential D2 championship with the USL. Can you sort of confirm if this is true or not? Did you hear about it?
Mm-hmm.
And do you think USL would ever be on board with this?
I've heard about it, and not from any official source, but just from fans. Personally, I love the idea. I mean, it harkens back to the Super Bowl, right? The mm-hmm. original, it actually wasn't called the Super Bowl back in 1967 when the Green Bay Packers first played the Kansas City Chiefs. It was called, I think it was the NFL-AFL championship. And I think it was that way through the second World Championship, and it was a third one between the Colts and the New York Jets, I believe, before it was actually called the Super Bowl. Lamar Hunt, one of the founders of Major League Soccer, is the person who coined the term, I think, inspired by one of his kids' toys. It was a vulcanized ball that bounced really, really high. It was called a Super Ball, and that's what inspired him. But anyways, I think a championship, a postseason championship between the winners of the two division leagues would be fantastic. But I'm not speaking on behalf of NASL or USL. I'm just speaking for myself as a fan. I would love to see it.
And what do you think a successful 2017 season would be for the NASL?
I think a successful 2017 season would be continued improvement in the on-field product. That's often overlooked. What a great competitive league it's been, and how it's gotten better every year. So continued improvement there, continued growth in attendance, continued broadcast coverage that's been expanding every year. And then importantly, like I said at the beginning, get up to 12 committed teams for the 2018 season, before the 2017 season even starts, ideally, but certainly by the end of the 2017 season. If you can get to the point where you've addressed all of U.S. Soccer's concerns about the provisional Division II status, that will be a success.
And I'm sort of confident that will be a Division II league, not professional, just a full-time Division II league by the next offseason, because there's 9 teams with the Strikers. They're joining in 2018. And then you have San Diego. You have potentially Atlanta that has been thrown around, and Chicago. And then you have numerous other markets that you're talking to, and probably there's some investors as well.
Absolutely. The number of markets that are interested in NASL has never been greater. And the owners are doing a better job than ever of vetting these markets, these ownership groups, and their business plans before accepting them. It all gives me confidence that the NASL will be sustainable and grow.
That makes me really happy, Peter. Let's talk about your time with Indy 11. It's been 4 years since the first time they were announced. So what is your best moment with Indy 11, besides winning the spring season?
You took away one of the low-hanging fruit. That would have been an easy one to pick.
Yeah.
But actually,
mm-hmm.
I'll go to the other end of the spectrum. 4 years and 2 days ago, January 16th, 2013, when the team was announced at the NFCAA the coaches convention, the soccer coaches convention, at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. That was a special moment. And it wasn't just that we announced we were getting a team, but how it was announced. In addition to owner Ersal Özdemir and representatives from the mayor's office, the governor's office, civic leaders, on stage, we had more than 50 members of the Brickyard Battalion. And this was for a team that didn't even exist because they existed before we did. And the passion that the Brickyard Battalion showed and the energy they created in that room was something really special. And it led to the team selling 7,000 season tickets 5 months before our first game. We actually cut off season tickets 5 months beforehand. But it all started with the Brickyard Battalion and then the announcement that we were getting a team. So that was, it's still special to me, and it always will be.
Yeah, I attended a match, and I went all the way to Indy to go see the Cosmos play your own Indy 11, and great atmosphere, great stadium as well.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go so far as to say a great stadium.
Well, compared to New York, Peter, compared to New York,
atmosphere.
Peter.
The fans make a great atmosphere for it, and the aluminum treads and risers make for good seat pounding, make a lot of noise. But the track around it takes away some of the intimacy you'd like to have. The lack of a concourse means you can't hide from the rain. Yeah. The amenities are limited. And those are all reasons why, you know, we've been working hard on a new stadium. I think if and when Indy 11 gets a soccer-specific stadium, you're really going to see the sport take off in an unprecedented way in the Circle City.
I know you're not with the team anymore, but can you sort of update where the process is for that stadium?
I'll do my best. I know this is a budget year for the state legislature, which it works on a biannual basis. So every 2 years, they have a good chance of getting the legislation through the state legislature, which is needed. I suspect because of the uncertainty of the NASL in December, it may have put them back a little bit, or quite a bit, actually, because the session just started the first week of January. And last I heard, they were going to give it another shot, but it may be pushed back. It's something that's going to happen eventually. It's a good idea. Ownership is committed to it and willing to participate in an important way. So I think in the long run, the prospects are good, but I'm not certain about the short term.
Let's finish on talking about potential NASL to San Diego. It was announced on SiriusXM FC. Demabaugh and his friends are looking to bring a team to the San Diego area. That's another great market. I remember when Rayo OKC was announced, and in their local paper, it was called that Oklahoma is the soccer city. And we talked about how multiple markets can have numerous teams. And San Diego potentially could have a NASL team, can have an MLS team. USL wants to have a team. So it's great to see that there's markets that want soccer because of a gap in the market, which was no more NFL. And I read something that said that soccer would not fill that gap, and I totally understand that for non-soccer fans, but it would be great to see NASL in San Diego one day.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think San Diego is a wonderful sports market in general and great soccer market, and you're right. It's not the same as the NFL, but I tell you what, there's three important demographics for professional soccer, and with new Americans, young adults, and youth soccer families very well represented in Southern California. San Diego would be an outstanding market, and professional soccer is the number one sport for a large swath of the population there. And I think differentiation can be created between an NASL and MLS team or even a USL team to give all those teams an opportunity to be successful if they're well run. And time will tell. I think that we're working our our firm, Club Nine Sports, is working closely with Demba Ba and Bob Watkins and his group, and we're confident that it's going to be a quality organization that's going to be responsive to the community and built from the grassroots, built from the bottom up, and we feel good about putting a successful team in San Diego.
So would San Diego be announced for 2018, or?
That is our timeline. We would like to have San Diego included in the 2018 roster of NASL teams.
So the goal is 12 teams by 2018, correct?
Well, absolutely. I think we want to fully populate the second division with 20 teams in the NASL, and I think that's a very good goal to have. And the time it will take to get there is not as important as the quality of ownership that will make up the teams when we get there.
We have a listener question. Lady Victory says, did you ever imagine this is how your career would become regards to soccer, championships, and multiple cities?
Well, I think along the way I've started to hone in on areas of my skill set. And I think launching soccer teams and working with communities to build those connections in them has become readily apparent over the years. So maybe I wouldn't have thought that 5 or 10 years ago, but over time I've started to realize that might be what my skill set best used.
I truly believe, and I tweeted out there, that you should become the next NASL commissioner. I believe you don't want to be involved in that, of course, because you like building soccer clubs. But who do you think should be the next NASL commissioner?
I really have been impressed with Rishi Sehgal, not only in his past role as business development and legal counsel for the league, but in the way he's handled the transition with the new leadership. I'd be very comfortable, more than comfortable, in supporting to keep Rishi in that role. And he's been successful in a short amount of time, and he's got a great approach to this. And for my vote for him.
Thank you, Peter, for coming on the show. Really, really, really appreciate it. And best of luck with the investors that you are consulting and talking to. Hopefully they can join the league really soon. And I can't wait to see Chicago NASL in 2018, hopefully.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it.
I really like Peter Wilt's take on the game because it's not like other people's thoughts. It's not like Don Garber or Sunil Gulati. It's a more progressive thinking. This guy knows what he's doing. He's built clubs up that are successful. There's people that invest in a team, build a team. There are the president or the executive or whatever position they hold. And that team is not a very successful team. And I'm not going to call out clubs, but I'm just going to say there are people out there that are in the soccer business because they want to make money. And they think this is a different pathway in the sports business. But Peter Wilt has our best interest. He wants to see the game grow. He's growing the game without investing money into a specific team. He's investing his time and his energy into the Indy 11, into Chicago Fire. And you look at Indy 11, and I witnessed a match firsthand. I attended Indy 11 versus New York Cosmos at Michael A. Carroll Stadium. And I can tell you, it was a great atmosphere, a great match. Even though the Cosmos lost, I was upset. I've never been that upset about a match before. Never upset. Cosmos lose, I sort of get over it after an hour. But this time, I was beat up like 3 days later. But put that loss to the side. Peter Wilt knows how to build a soccer club. But take what he said today and tell your friends about it and have a conversation about the NASL, the future of the NASL. And hopefully we can have another conversation with him towards the end of the season or maybe in the middle of the season because things change, as we all know. Last season, we thought the Cosmos and the NASL, everything was great. We saw flaws. We saw flaws in our own team. We saw things were wrong in the Cosmos. We saw that the NASL was not being ran the right way. we still accepted it. We still supported Cosmos or your club and the NASL. Now we have a different approach, like I said earlier, and we're going to see changes. We are going to see changes, again, with your club, with the league as a whole. I wasn't trying to talk about Pro Rel with Peter Wilt. Never try to do that. Just ask a question about MLS and would investment drop, because that's something that I want to have an in-depth conversation on. And we might have something in store maybe before the start of the season on topics like that. So if you're interested in things like that, topics about the game in this country, let us know. Email us, firstteampod@gmail.com. Thanks to Peter Will for joining the show. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we can have another conversation real soon about the NASL and the future of the league and the game in this country. Really appreciated his thoughts, and the way he goes about things is totally different, and I really appreciate that and like that. Also, you can connect with us on Twitter, Facebook at First Team Pod, website firstteampod.com. That is firstteampod.com. So check us out there, and hopefully we have more news on the New York Cosmos next week. And as always, let's go New York Cosmos.
Yeah, just want to give a shout out to the 5 points. The Borough Boys, the Benadel Cosmos, and the Cross Island crew. Yeah, it's New York's green and white. What we bleed, you see and fight. Indeed, it seems to be achieving. See, we do and did it right. Cosmo country loving, we above them, I'm just saying. All those lovely songs come and see it in our playing. The fact of it, rap from skid, tax, passion, bliss. React, tap, we win. So fast, racking them in. Whether it's tag, the wing, going back to stand for the mid, cutting the seams. It seems we see anything to be. We got a ball and a dream. Got a ball and a dream. We do. I'm new, it's true. Facts, you curl down for you, no doubt they do. Surrounding you with bad reviews. Like shouting cues aloud to you without the dudes. Around my crews, I'm tracking fast, no excuse. Session, the lesson, it's not about profession. The work's the test, and F's connected like a method. Not breathless after training, something's gotta be corrected. Rushing and acceleration at the start's the most suggested. Infected with greatness, potential is spacious. Out the world, just face it, the work becomes contagious. Some may say we made it, but now we've just begun. Sorry if you hate it, because I can tell you that I'm far from done.